This is DW News live from Berlin. Britain mourns the death of Prince Philip. Military salutes and moments of silence are being held in tribute to the 99-year-old husband of Queen Elizabeth II. We look at how the country is grieving along with the royal family. Also coming up on the show, embracing pandemic skeptics. The far-right Alternative for Germany party needs to plan its election campaign. But could infighting push them even further to the right? Hello, I'm Claire Richardson. Welcome to the show. Britain is mourning the death of Prince Philip, husband to Queen Elizabeth. He died on Friday, aged 99. The flags will fly at half-mast until the day of his funeral, which is yet to be announced. Although Buckingham Palace has asked crowds not to gather or lay flowers during the pandemic, people have been coming out to express their grief. In the last hour, the military has been paying tribute to the prince.
A sound goodbye. Across Britain, military guns fire a salute to the late Prince Philip a day after his death. Many British people are pausing to mark the passing of a man they held dear.
I have a huge, huge amount of respect for the royal family. I'm quite emotional, actually, even just talking about it. The news broke as we were walking through Parliament Square, and my daughter and I just said, first, we just felt like we had to come down here and just be near the palace and safely, obviously, masks and everything else, and just be close to the royal family today.
Oh, the Prince Philip was a wonderful father and a real asset to British life. And I'm sure the Queen is grieving terribly. My wishes to her.
Very sad. I actually shed a tear. I felt really, we knew it was going to happen, but still very, very sad.
Sad. He's been with us all through our lives, as the pair have.
People in London have made their way to Windsor Castle and Buckingham Palace to pay their respects to the late Duke of Edinburgh. The royal family urged crowds not to gather due to the pandemic, asking them to make donations to charity instead. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson says his thoughts are with the Queen, who has lost her husband.
So we mourn today with Her Majesty the Queen. We offer our condolences to her and to all her family. And we give thanks as a nation and a kingdom for the extraordinary life and work of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh.
In Britain, flags will continue to fly at half-mast all over the country until the prince's funeral.
And for more, we're now joined by culture reporter Robin Merrill. Robin, great to see you there. What do you think will be Prince Philip's lasting legacy?
Well, I think a legacy of a life of service, first of all, to Queen and country. If you think 73 years in a very difficult role, that of number two, you know, the spare, well, number two anyway, playing second fiddle to his wife, which was difficult for him because he was quite a macho guy. He once said his job was first, second and last, to never let her down. And indeed, in those 73 years in public, he never did let her down. The other great legacy is, of course, the Duke of Edinburgh Awards scheme, which he started way back in 1956, actually. It's all about connecting young people with nature and the outdoors. He was an environmentalist before his time. And it continues to this day. It gives young people self-reliance. It gives them responsibility and a belief in serving the community. And will continue to do so way into the future.
Now, how has the Queen been faring? Because he has, as you said, been such a rock for her in what must be quite a lonely role at times.
Absolutely. Our thoughts do go out to her at this very difficult time because It is said he was the only man, indeed the only person in the world, who could speak to her normally. There is a funny anecdote of when he was driving rather fast and she was gasping, and he turned to her and he said, "If you do that again, I'll throw you out of the car." Well, you can't imagine anybody else being able to say that to the British monarch and getting away with it.
Absolutely not.
They were a couple for three quarters of a century. So despite the Queen knowing this was going to happen, she must have known for the last week or so, I think. Maybe we all did. But it comes when someone passes, as you know, as I know, when that moment happens, it does hit you very hard. And I'm sure she is grieving. She is in deep sorrow, as it said on the message that was put outside the palace yesterday.
Now, the nation is in mourning, but it is also important to remember that Prince Philip was at times quite a divisive figure. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, yes, in this age of political correctness, absolutely a divisive figure. He was famous for his gaffes, a lot of them unrepeatable here. He didn't suffer fools gladly, and he was actually quite blunt. There's one time when he met a trainee astronaut, and he looked him up and down. He said, "Well, you're a bit too fat for that, aren't you?" His most famous gaffe here in Germany, he did speak German, because when he was a child, he was educated for 1 year in Germany. He called Chancellor Helmut Kohl the Reichskanzler. Now, this is a word in German that is only associated with Adolf Hitler, so that didn't go down very well. I would like to say, though, that people who knew him and worked with him, my brother worked for the palace for some time, and they said he was actually very easy to deal with, because he always had something to say to put you at your ease. My brother told me he was very relaxed within himself. So there were two sides to him, divisive, as you said.
All right, Robin Merrill, thank you so much for that update. And let's turn our attention now to some other stories making headlines around the world. In Myanmar, protesters are demonstrating again in the city of Mandalay, despite a heavy military presence. The country has been in turmoil since the military ousted civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi in February. More than 600 people have been killed while demanding a return to democracy. Police in Greece have launched a manhunt after a veteran crime reporter was shot dead outside his home in Athens. Yorgos Karivas was ambushed and shot several times as he arrived home from work. Media offices in Greece are frequently targeted in firebomb and vandalism attacks. Well, Djibouti's long-standing president, Ismail Omar Guelleh, has been re-elected for a fifth term. Provisional results show he won 98% of the vote. Guelleh faced just one challenger, the businessman Zakaria Ismail Farah. Farah said safety concerns prevented him from campaigning, and all the other opposition parties boycotted the vote. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel will introduce legislation aimed at giving the federal government more powers to impose nationwide pandemic rules. Until now, regional leaders have enforced restrictions, leading to a patchwork of regulations. Germany is battling a third COVID-19 wave, and doctors warn hospitals will soon be overwhelmed. Well, Germany's far-right Alternative for Germany party is holding a convention this weekend to decide what their program will be for national elections this September. The AfD's 600 delegates are meeting in person in the city of Dresden, despite high numbers of coronavirus cases here in Germany. And protests are taking place outside the conference. The party's anti-Islam, anti-immigrant stance, as well as its criticism of measures to fight the pandemic, have courted controversy. And the gathering is expected to be the scene of a bitter debate between its extreme right faction and its more conservative right-wing powers.
Germany will hold a federal election later this year, and Jörg Meuthen is planning an aggressive campaign for the AfD party, which he co-chairs. The far-right party's platform will include calls for the deportation of hundreds of thousands of asylum seekers and for severe restrictions to be imposed on immigration. It will also suggest that Germany should follow the British example and leave the EU as well as the Eurozone. The AfD also wants to score points with critics of Germany's coronavirus policy. With their stance against compulsory mask wearing and lockdown measures, the AfD hopes to remain relevant to the tens of thousands of protesters in Germany. On this, the party is unified. But the AfD's co-leader is under attack from other top party figures, above all, from Thuringia's Björn Höcke. He led the party's extreme right wing, which was put under intelligence surveillance for its stances. Meuthen had sharply criticized the radical wing at last year's party congress to keep the AfD from veering too far right and potentially losing votes. Is it really wise to speak of a coronavirus dictatorship? We don't live in a dictatorship. If we did, we could hardly hold this party congress today. The internal struggle could also affect this weekend's party conference. According to media reports, influential functionaries are making moves to remove Meuthen from the party leadership.
And I'm joined now by our political correspondent, Simon Young, who is reporting from the party convention in Dresden. Simon, as we heard, the AfD is finalizing its strategy going into this September's elections. What issues are dominating the convention this year?
Yeah, the main thing that the Alternative for Germany wants to do here this weekend is to launch its election campaign program. They've launched that last night under a slogan, Germany but normal. It's their vision of what normality should mean in Germany. They say they want to get back to normality. It includes things like ditching the euro, reintroducing compulsory military service, banning minarets. There's a lot of emphasis on traditional family models and so on. So there'll be discussion about that outside the party congress hall here, I'm sure, about whether that really is what normal should mean in Germany. But these discussions here about the content of their election program, I think, are overshadowed, as the report said, by a rift in the party about which is the real direction they want to go in. Do they want to drift more to the right and push that envelope of right-wing rhetoric even further, as some have wanted to do, or do they want to get back somehow into more into the middle of German politics? And we're seeing that played out here. But the more moderate leader mentioned there, Jörg Meuthen of the AfD, he will stay in the job, it seems. But that's only one of a few battles that are being played out here.
Now, Simon, AfD members have been active in anti-coronavirus demonstrations, and the party has links to radical coronavirus deniers. How has the pandemic been featuring in their platform?
Well, yes, there have been those links, and we've seen senior AfD politicians talking about the government creating panic and saying that corona is, you know, less dangerous than the flu. They try to play on those fears, emphasizing the idea that they are standing up for people's civil liberties and freedoms against a government that wants to somehow close those things down. So they've talked a lot about that. They criticized the government for changing its mind on its policy. But they themselves have been a bit confused about corona. They certainly want to push back against things like any idea of, for instance, requiring people to have vaccinations or to carry vaccine passports.
We're going to have to leave it there. Simon Young reporting for us from Dresden. Thank you so much. Let's turn our attention now to some other developments in the pandemic. The EU's drugs regulator is reviewing Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine after four reports of unusual blood clots. It's also expanding its investigation of AstraZeneca's shot. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization says there's still a, quote, shocking imbalance in the global distribution of coronavirus vaccines. A new tally shows 87% of the shots have been administered in wealthy countries. And French police say they have busted an underground restaurant in Paris. More than 100 diners were fined and the organizer arrested for breaking pandemic rules. Let's get some sports news now and turning to Bundesliga football. Struggling Bielefeld hosted Freiburg on Friday. The visitors wanted a win to boost their slim chances of European qualification, while the home side needed 3 points to help avoid relegation. An own goal by Freiburg at 69 minutes won the game for Bielefeld, lifting Bielefeld out of the drop zone, at least until their rivals play today and tomorrow. Freiburg remain in 10th place in the standings. You're watching DW News from Berlin. Coming up next on Reporter, Syria's torture program goes on trial in Germany. Don't forget, there's always more on our website, dw.com. I'll bring you more news at the top of the hour. For now, though, thanks so much for joining us.